But some people without brains do an awful lot of talking, don't they?
Yes, I guess you're right.
Welcome to Stranger Still, the podcast where we're punching up this week. Not like the content. It's like a phrase that people use to. Anyway, I'm Nick Wood. It's a solo episode this week because, as it turns out, when you have a podcast that for 3 years you record in the same location, when you're separated, you find out the gear that you don't have. So we tried to punch up the sound quality and found out we were missing another piece of equipment. So it's just you and me this week, friend, and that's okay. I think this one's going to be fun because we're talking about Dr. Oz, hence the Wizard of Oz quote in the beginning. It's funny. It's not funny. It's the obvious joke because every article that I pulled up has some reference to the Wizard of Oz. But here we are, and you're just going to have to deal with it. That's the kind of humor you get this week. Hope you guys are doing all right. As we talk about medical professionals, I think it's important to thank all the medical professionals out there for the thing that we're not talking about on the show anymore because we've talked about it enough that's going on in the world, and I'm sure you want to get your mind off of it. We will have to reference it at least once in this episode, and twice. We'll reference it twice. Did I introduce myself? I think I did. I'm Nick Wood. If you don't know that by now, I'd be really surprised that you're still listening a minute and a half in. So Dr. Oz, man, he's... I've seen him compared to like snake oil salesmen or like traveling... those traveling doctors that would sell tonics and stuff and just all around charlatans. And I knew he was a quack. But after researching him, he is one of my least favorite people. Spoiler. And I don't think that this is any news to anyone. Like, this episode is pretty straightforward, but I felt like I had to pull out the red string on this one. Like, I had 20 tabs open at any given time when I was researching this stuff. Just, like, trying to track down this dude's life. See what makes him tick. It was a journey. And I guess I'm assuming you out there know who Dr. Oz is. For those that don't know, Dr. Mehmet Oz is a Turkish-American TV personality who currently hosts the Dr. Oz show. If you want the boring stuff, he was born on July 11, 1960 in Ohio to two Turkish parents. I wasn't aware of this, but as of 2 years ago, Donald Trump put him on the President's Council of Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. That was in 2018. That was 2 years after Donald Trump appeared on his show. I guess they became friends, and why wouldn't a reality show host, president, appoint a daytime quack? Dr. Oz talks about all manner of things from weight loss to surgery, skin conditions, oral hygiene, weight loss again, how to increase your energy, weight loss. Everyone has known he's been a quack for a long time. In fact, in 2015, 10 doctors wrote to Columbia University saying that he promotes, quote, quack treatments and cures in the interest of personal financial gain. But what really piqued my interest was an article I found on the subreddit Today I Learned. I like to scour that subreddit just for, like, random topic ideas if something ever seems substantial enough, and I was intrigued by this one because it was titled "Today I Learned Canadian Researchers Watched 40 Episodes of the Dr. Oz Show and Found That Nearly 40% of the Medical Advice Is Not Evidence-Based and 15% Goes Directly Against Evidence," and that was back in, I think the research was done in 2015. The article that they linked was, no, the research was done in 2014. The article they linked was from 2015. And I think the reason that this all got trudged back up, why Dr. Oz is being put under scrutiny, is because he's going around claiming there is a cure to coronavirus that hasn't been proven to work, and there's tons of other side effects that come along with this drug that he's saying cures coronavirus. And I found a great article from Business Insider that compiled a great list of 8 times, quote, Oz has made misleading or downright false scientific claims. And that's, we'll get to that later in this episode. But before we can get there, listeners, you out there like me might be wondering where Dr. Oz even came from. How did he become a doctor? How did he rise to fame? How did he start shilling quack science? Is he even a real doctor? And what's maybe most dangerous, in my opinion, is he's like Gwyneth Paltrow, except he has his master's. That's right, he is a real doctor, not like Dr. Phil. He is a real doctor. And even worse, he's on daytime television. He's not even on like a streaming service like Gwyneth Paltrow. And so, yeah, Dr. Oz is a real doctor. He got his undergraduate from Harvard in 1982. In 1986, he went on to receive his master's and MBA from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine and Wharton Business College. And no matter how hard I looked, couldn't find out what his master's was in. But that, I guess that doesn't matter, because in his career following 1986, he mainly specialized in heart transplants. In 1994, he set up the Cardiovascular Institute of Integrative Medicine Program. Oh, sorry. Cardiovascular Institute and Integrative Medicine Program at the New York Presbyterian Hospital. He started to enter the public eye when he wrote a couple books shortly thereafter. And still, as recently as 2008... he was performing, or he was claiming to have performed 250 heart surgeries, heart transplant, open heart surgeries per year. And in 2010, there was another interview where that number went down to 200. And that was a year after his show, the Dr. Oz show, came out, his primary show. So I assume it's probably at zero by now, but that's just my speculation, given that for a period of time he also had a radio show on Sirius satellite radio, and he's writing, he's got like, I don't know how many books, I want to say like 40, but I don't think it's that much, it might be more like 25. I didn't care enough to write it down, because at this point I was getting a little frustrated by this man. But the other reason I assume that he's not doing this is because what he's doing now is a hell of a lot more profitable, which we'll get to. Now, I assumed that he first made his appearance on Oprah, but before that, he made like a few consulting appearances on a variety of shows. He had some stuff on Discovery Health. He did this and that on Discovery Health. And in 2003, he finally had a show on Discovery proper. I mean, just Discovery, called Second Opinion with Dr. Oz. And during that time, he got Oprah on his show, and they became quick friends, which to me means they learned how to make a quick buck off of each other. So in 2004, Oprah Winfrey created a segment on her show called Ask Dr. Oz, where she would invite him onto her show to provide medical advice. And no shade to Oprah, in my current opinion. She's had a fair shake of interesting characters on her show, but I haven't looked into it to see if it's lack of knowledge or intentional malice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if she's inviting these crazy people on her show. I guess she's just making it, you know, I haven't looked into it enough to make an assumption about her. But just a reminder, she was the one who brought Jenny McCarthy on her show to spew her whole vaccines cause autism agenda. She brought Dr. Phil into the limelight. which he has a PhD, but he isn't a licensed medical professional. He just plays one on TV. She brought Rachel Ray into the spotlight, which I don't have any problems with her. I know that John likes her pots and pans. He talks about them all the time. And then there's Susie Orman, who was a guest on her show a lot as a financial advisor, who has given such financial advice as, and this isn't really financial advice that she's said, this is just things that she's done. She's been quoted as saying, "I have $1 million in the stock market because if I lose $1 million, I don't personally care." She also scammed a bunch of customers at a bakery out of money, like to invest in a restaurant she was going to open, but then she took that money and made a bunch of bad investments and lost all the money in like a mutual fund or something like that, and then blamed it on a crooked financial advisor. And these are just a couple examples. I pulled off a quick Guardian article and a Yahoo Finance article, but this isn't about Oprah or her band of thieves. It's about Dr. Oz. He made 55 appearances on her show, on Oprah's show, over the course of 5 seasons, mostly talking about weight loss and shilling products. The Guardian had a great example of this. He talked about a nose irrigation kit and sales for the product on the product's website went up 12,000%. Do you see where the profit margin starts to look a little enticing? I mean, it's pretty much all downhill from there. Finally, in 2009, Harpo Productions set him up with his own show, the Dr. Oz Show, the one that unfortunately is still going and legally should probably be taken off the air, but we'll circle back around to that. On his show, he's given a credence of validity to things that we've already talked about this show, like Reiki, or I don't know, there's a bunch of other things we'll probably get to later, but he's also discussed a lot of things that maybe we'll discuss one day, like weight loss pills. So how did he go from performing 250 heart surgeries a year to this? Well, he has a couple different examples of what led him down this path, which I find incredibly interesting. On biography.com, there's a very flattering and adoring piece on him that I forgot to mention earlier, and the reason that I brought up his Turkish heritage earlier is because in this article, they plant the seed for his quackery. They call it open-mindedness by saying, though he grew up in the United States, Oz made frequent family trips to his parents' homeland of Turkey. These visits influenced the young Oz greatly, and they taught him to view the world in an open mind, which would eventually shape his work as a doctor. They would go on to say that he was inspired to become a doctor, quote, at the age of 6, after he witnessed firsthand the hope that his father brought to his patients as a surgeon at Wilmington Medical Center. "I thought it would feel so good if I could do that, too," Oz said. I'm sure money had nothing to do with it. Then in 2008, there's a 2008 article where he tried to cover his ass in a Life Extension magazine interview. This was, again, from biography.com. You can track down the article if you really want to read it. They said, early in his career, he treated a patient whose family would not allow blood transfusion for religious reasons. Though the encounter initially upset him, it eventually led Oz to broaden his approach to healing. "I began to recognize that as dogmatic as I thought I could be with my knowledge base, there were certain elements of the healing process I could not capture." You know, like early enough in his career that no one would be around to document or corroborate this story, and definitely not 5 years after shilling quack products on Oprah's show for fame and money. Nah. I'm getting ahead of myself. To be fair, I haven't given any evidence that he's full of it, so to speak. I get a little worked up because this guy's on basic cable. I can watch him on my bunny ears. I don't even think that's basic cables. That's just like the local, what are they called? Local affiliates. I can watch him in the afternoon for free on my bunny ears, I guess those cost like $20, whatever. You know what I'm saying? This guy is just, he's so accessible and he hits the exact right market. Unfortunately, he's got a huge influence over stay-at-home moms or grandparents or whoever across America, and it's going to do damage. And as we've talked about before, it is currently illegal by accordance of the FDA and the FTC, I think, to market a product as a cure for COVID or COVID-19. And yet, here he is on daytime television getting away with it. And back to the article I found on Reddit, there was a study that randomly looked at 40 episodes of his show and another show he was on called The Doctors. And they took 80 recommendations from each one of the shows, so from The Dr. Oz Show and The Doctors, so 160 medical recommendations in total. On average, The Dr. Oz Show had 12 medical recommendations per episode, and The Doctors had 11. And here's what they found. On The Dr. Oz Show, evidence supported 46% of his claims, contradicted 15%, and was not found for 39% of his claims. On The Doctors, evidence supported 63% of the claims, which is better, but was contradicted on 14% of the claims and was not found for the remaining 24%. Believable or somewhat believable evidence supported 33% of the recommendations on The Dr. Oz Show and 53% on The Doctors. So that is to say, if there was like one study and it was kind of small, but it's been vetted out, that accommodated for 33% of the recommendations on The Dr. Oz Show. So basically he looked at a headline, thought that it looked good, and then talked about it on his show. But finally, the moment that everyone's been waiting for, the 8 specific instances Business Insider had listed. So here's the quote from the Business Insider article. Oz has pushed hydroxychloroquine to fight the coronavirus, even though its effects are still unproven. So to be fair, this was on Fox and Friends, and maybe that speaks for itself. But he cited a French doctor who did their own study and found out of 24 patients who took that very long thing that I already said and don't want to try to say again, 75% of them were no longer sick after 6 days. That study was not peer reviewed, let alone clinical trials. Plus, there's a bunch of side effects with the drug, like eye and heart damage, apparently. It's not really what you want. Number 2 was Oz repeatedly claimed that raspberry ketones are the number one miracle in a bottle to burn your fat. It's a quote from Dr. Oz. The study he cites tested 8 substances at once. So they took a bunch of things, put them in a pill, and then some people lost weight, and they're like, yeah, raspberry ketones. The other study that he cites was done on rats. Nothing's been done on humans. He's just thinking that we're all rats, and to him, maybe we are. Who knows? Number 3, you guys are going to love this. We've talked about this on the show before. Oz has said astrological signs, quote, may reveal a great deal about our health. Come on. How? Number 4, Oz told viewers that green coffee extract, quote, has scientists saying they found the magic weight loss cure. First of all, a doctor should never be using terms like magical. That's red flag number 1. Second of all, the FTC has gone after companies making this claim. I believe that they fined one company $1.5 million, and Dr. Oz had to go testify in front of, I think, Congress to discuss this claim of green coffee extract. And he's like, well, it's the studies say that it might. I never said it was magic weight loss. Are you kidding? don't go to my website. The next one, I think, is number 5. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oz has said many countries require genetically modified foods to have special labels. This was on a segment of a lot of fear-mongering, which he's not afraid to do, claiming GMOs are bad. Well, he literally said, "I do not claim that GMO foods are dangerous, but believe they should be labeled like they are in most countries around the world." This is an easily provable fact. Just pull up the laws of countries around genetically modified foods. It's not true. A majority of the countries do not have that regulation. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I think that people should know what they are eating. I think that's fair, even though I don't believe that GMOs are necessarily bad. That's another rabbit hole that we're going to have to go down on another episode. Maybe we'll do that next week. Let me say this. I don't know enough about GMOs to say whether or not they are good or bad. However, I think that they are better on the whole. They are better for the greater good. We're running out of resources, and if we can get more food for less work and energy, that's going to be good. However, I also think that if people believe that they are bad, they are entitled to their opinion, because there's not enough evidence out there. They're entitled to that opinion, because it is an opinion at this point. There's no facts. There's small studies. So I'm going to let them have their opinion, and I'm going to respect that. If they don't want to eat GMOs, they shouldn't be blind to what they're eating. That's fair. However, Dr. Oz's claim that most countries require GMOs to be labeled is incorrect. Number 6, he said, he's also said, "Umkaloobo root extract has been incredibly," this is a quote, "has been incredibly effective at relieving cold symptoms, even though it hasn't." Again, easily provable. You have a cold? Take it. The National Center for Biotechnology Information says, they said a bunch of stuff, but basically all it's going to do, if anything, is help a little bit with your cough. It's not going to help with, like, mucus or coughing, like sneezing, anything like that. It's just going to suppress your cough like a cough drop. So if that's how you define a cold, then I guess maybe he's right, but I don't define it like that. Oz recommended using lavender soap to cure leg cramps. I believe he said that somebody had found the cure for restless leg syndrome. And what you would do is you would lay in bed and put a bar of lavender soap next to your legs when you're sleeping. Something like that. Maybe he said put it under your pillow and the lavender fairy will come remove your restless leg syndrome in your sleep. There is no science to back this up. We've talked about this before. This is one of the great turning points in our show, is that lavender has been shown to relax people. Lavender scents and essential oils have been shown in studies to relax. However, it's not going to remove your restless leg syndrome. It might help you go to sleep. But if you have RLS, it's not going to make that go away permanently. And the last one I have here is, "A strawberry and baking soda mixture can whiten teeth," Oz said. Soda will never whiten your teeth. Okay, let me back up. Technically, he is correct. Dr. So-Ron Kwan from the University of Iowa did a couple studies on this and found it can help remove the plaque from your teeth, which may make your teeth look whiter temporarily, but it's in the long run, it can do more damage to your teeth than good. It is a topical change. It's like if you, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, you have a scab, you pick off the scab, and it looks better, but now you're going to have a scar there because you didn't let the tissue heal properly. That's basically what you're doing. You're removing the plaque, so it looks good, but what you need is something that goes further than the surface to do a real healthy clean. And just because it's not white teeth doesn't mean that it's not healthy teeth. People need to get that through their heads, and that's really frustrating. I'm so sick of teeth whitening strips and stuff. I don't care what your teeth look like, friend. Just don't have bad smelling breath and we're good to go. Brush your teeth. Make an attempt and we'll be friends. I can talk to you at that point. I also, let me back up. I know that there are some conditions that cause halitosis. Even though you brush your teeth, there's just some mouths that have bacteria that cause bad breath. But make the effort. Brush your teeth. There's other websites out there have pointed out ways that he's fear-mongered, such as a quote-unquote investigation that he published on his website. Dr. Oz team looked into arsenic levels in apple juice, and the highest they found was 36 parts per billion, which the FDA said it was like that was the highest part in like a Welch's grape juice. It wasn't even the average. The average was like 20 or 12, and the highest they found was 36 parts per billion. And the FDA responded that by saying, yeah, arsenic is everywhere. It's a part of life. It's a chemical compound. It's found in nature. It's in apple seeds. But you have to eat a crap load of apple seeds for that to do any damage to you, let alone kill you. He's also gone back and forth on GMOs, apparently. But maybe the grossest thing, not like you're going to think that I'm talking about the substance of this. Vox claimed that he made $1.17 million pushing a hemorrhoid treatment on his website. A company came to him and said, hey, we have a product to treat hemorrhoids. Would you publish an article about it on your website? Here's a big sack of money with a dollar sign drawn on it in Sharpie. Shh, just publish the article. And he did. He got $1.17 million for it. That is disgusting. No, doctors should be providing care and advice based on their medical knowledge or the problem a patient is seeing, not what, how many zeros are behind that dollar sign. I mean, if you're a real doctor, you're already getting paid buku bucks anyway. It's just, it's disgusting. He is gross. I got like 2 pages into my research and I was like, oh no, there's not going to be enough to talk about. But then as soon as I got past like his history and got into his quackery, I was like, oh, this is the stuff. I get to this point in these episodes where I think I've laid out the evidence enough that I no longer have to explain why he is a disgusting person, but I just can't get over it. There's not an articulate way to say it. he's a monster. And I mean that. That's extreme, but like when you go back to these stats, what was it? 15% of the medical advice he gives on his show is flying in the face of scientific evidence, and he makes 12 recommendations per episode. So what is that? I guess it's not that bad. It's like 2 recommendations per episode. Well, that is pretty bad. He gives 2 recommendations per episode that science vehemently disagrees with, easily provably disagrees with, and the other 40%, so about 5% of his claims don't have any of an evidence at all. So 7 recommendations per episode out of 12 are presented as fact to, oh, hang on, I bet I could figure this out. I'm going to figure out how many viewers on average Dr. Oz has. Okay, so maybe it's not so bad, and it's still kind of bad. According to the Nielsen ratings, like 1.1 1% of the population watches his show. Whew, that's that's relieving. That's like 12 down 12% from the year before, and that was 2017, so I imagine it's probably in the can at this point. But that's still like 300,000 people that he's getting out this more than 50% error rate to, and they're gonna go out and be like, oh, hey Susie, did you hear that baking soda and strawberry and baking soda mixture can whiten your teeth? And she's gonna go, oh my god, oh yeah, that works, I'm gonna go tell Betty now. It's, I don't know, I think I've said enough on this guy. He's gross. But you know what's not gross? Leaving us a review on iTunes. That's like the least gross thing that you can do. And I know that you're sitting there at home. Pop on over to your listening app and drop us a little review. Leave us a few stars. Leave us some words. It's the best way to reach new people. The other way that you can interact with us is on our Facebook page. You can follow us on there. I posted that article last week about Dr. Oz, so if you ever wonder what next week's episode is going to be, you can usually tell by the things that we're posting in there, so feel free to do that. Other than that, hope you all are having a great week. If not, next week will be different. I don't want to say better, I don't want to make a false promise, but it will be different than this week. And who knows? Hang in there. If you want to chat, just reach out. Reach out to me or John. I'm sure I'm going to volunteer John, but we're here for each other. And you know what? I love you. I do. Thank you for listening. I forget for a second. I forgot we ended the show. I was just going to make a whole new lore to this thing. Oh, so I'm still Nick. And this is Stranger Still.